Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Tanis Daf Lamed. We are holding 8 lines from the top of the Amid. In the Mishnah we learned that Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yoichel Odom Beis Tafshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, one should refrain from including two types of cooked food in his meal. Which meal are we speaking about? Amar of Yehuda? Lo Yishanu. This concern only applies Elom Yishay Shois Ulamala, from 6 hours going forward, meaning after Chatzos. It's leading into Tisha B'Av, it's time to tone down on the elegance of one's meal. Aval Mishesh Shois Ulamata Mutar. But if it's still before Chatzos, no restrictions, no limitations there. Vamar Yehuda, likewise, Lo Yishanu, this is only a concern, Elabis Uda Hamavsekbo, in that Suda Hamavsekis, the one which is the last meal before Tisha B'Av. Avabis Uda She'enim Avsekbo Muta. But if it's any other meal, it's not the last and final meal leading into Tisha B'Av, which relates to Tisha B'Av, which prepares you for Tisha B'Av. If it's any other meal, Muta. There's no limitations. We didn't set any restrictions as per the items on one's menu. V'tarvayu l'kulo. And indeed, both these statements of Rabbi Yehuda are meant to supply a kulo, which means that it needs to be after Chatzos and Suda HaMafsekes. Utsricha, both statements are needed. Di ashminan b'suda HaMafsekbo. If Rabbi Yehuda only tells us that this restriction applies to the Suda HaMafsekes, havamina, perhaps I would think, irrelevant of when it happens. Afilu mishesh shoyos ulamato. Even if he's eating that suda of seconds in the morning, it would have that restriction of isur shnei tafshilin kemash malan. That's why he tells us mishesh shoyos ulamalo. It only applies in the afternoon. V'yashmin on mishesh shoyos ulamalo. Had he only told us that it applies in the afternoon, havamina, perhaps I would say afilu b'suda she'enim afsekbo. Even if it so happens to be that it's a regular meal and not the last and final meal leading into and preparing him for Tisha B'Av. Even then, you may not have Shtei Tafshilin, because it's the timing that determines, not the essence of the Suda. Kamash Malan comes back of Yudah and tells us, no, B'Suda HaMafsekbo. This concern is limited and specific to the last and final meal. So two conditions need to be met. Timing and essence. The Suda HaMafsekes, the last and final meal, which prepares them for Tisha B'Av, which relates to Tisha B'Av. And also, Dafka, if it's in the afternoon, after Chatzos. Tanya Kalishna Kama, we have a Braisa, which supports the first statement of Rav Yehuda, that it's only a problem after Chatzos. Tanya Kalishna Basra. Likewise, we have a Braisa, which supports the second statement of Rav Yehuda, the concern only applies to the Suda HaMafsekes. Tana Kalishna Basra, we have a Braisa in support of the second statement, that it's specific to Suda HaMafsekes, the Braisa says. Hasoyid Erev Tisha B'Av. If one is having a meal, Erev Tisha B'Av, Im Asid Lisoyid Suda Acheres. If he plans, if he intends on having another meal afterwards, in which case this current meal is not the Suda HaMafsekbo, then we have no restrictions whatsoever. Mutar lechol basar, v'lishtos yayin. He can have meat, he can have wine. V'im lav asar, lechol basar v'lishtos yayin. But otherwise, v'im lav. He has no plans on having another meal, in which case this is the last and final meal, which leads him into Tisha B'Av. Then we have these restrictions. Asar lechol basar v'lishtos yayin. He has to keep off meat and wine. Mishnah Berurah brings, Chafetz Chaim explains, we keep away from meat and wine because we lost the Beis HaMikdash, where the Karbanos were brought, where wine was poured on the Mizbeach, and to commemorate that, we refrain from all those items. We stop consuming these foods which were unique, which were special for the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara Bava Basra brings that there were tzaddikim who decided after the Churban, they were in such a state of mourning, that's it, no more meat and wine forever. Chacham told them, look, it's not sustainable. You could restrict your intake. You can designate certain periods in the year where you refrain, where you are misabel, such as Erev Tisha B'Av, or as we do, it's from Rosh Chodesh, to express that feeling of loss, but otherwise it's unsustainable, and don't go overboard. In any case, the Braisa clearly attaches these restrictions and limitations to the Suda, which is the Suda HaMafsik, but the last Suda. And this supports Rabbi Yehuda. The concern only applies to the Suda HaMafsikas. Tanya Kalishna Kama. Now we have a Braisa in support of the first statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that the concern only applies when it's in the afternoon. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yichal adam shnei tavshilim. On Erev Tisha B'Av, one should not sit down to a meal which contains two separate types of cooked foods. Lo yichal basar, v'lo yishte yayin, don't have meat or wine. Rabba Shimon Megamliel Leimer, Yishana, he disagrees with Tanakam. You don't have to keep off wine and meat altogether, as long as you deviate. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ketzad Meshana, how do you deviate? How do you change your habit? Ima Yerog Lechal Shnei Tavshilin, Yoichal Min Echad. Now, the Torah has a different girsa. He learns as follows. Ima Yerog Lechal Shalosh Tavshilin, Yoichal Shnei Tavshilin. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and subsequently Rabbi Yehuda were disagreeing with the Tanakam. Tanakama sets forth a pretty clear-cut, straightforward restriction. No shnei tavshilin, no meat and wine during this meal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says as long as you change something, you tone down, you limit, you restrict, that's enough. And therefore, he says, when it comes to shnei tavshilin, as long as you're downgrading, for instance, if typically you have three items on the menu, now you only have two, that's okay. Or as the Rashash learns, Imo Yiroga Lecho Shnei Tavshilin Yochel Min Echad O Min Acher. He says like this, the Tanakama would hold that even two types of cooked food, even if they're the same type, let's say there's you have two types of cooked potatoes, that's also a problem. Whereas this Shita, Rabbi Yehuda, will disagree. He says, as long as it's one min echad, that's okay. So you can have potatoes cooked in two different varieties, two different ways of cooking. It presents as two tafshilim, but really it's the same min, that's okay. In any case, the point is the same. As long as you tone down, as long as there is a shinui from the typical menu, that's okay. Or let's say he was accustomed to having a big crowd keep him company, Rashi says, in his honor, he would dine with 10 people. He has to tone down, go down to 5. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not just a question of how many cooked dishes, what exactly you have on the menu. You have to make a shinui, tone down the menu, tone down the company, in addition to the menu. Now we go to the meat and wine. We don't apply an all-out ban on consuming meat and wine. As long as there's a shinui, as long as there's a downgrading, as long as you're toning down. He would typically drink 10 cups of wine in his meal. Now, he has to go down to 5. So Tanakama holds, you can't have two types of cooked food. You can't have meat and wine altogether. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and likewise Rabbi Yehuda, disagree. As long as you're toning down, you're deviating from the norm, in honor of Tisha B'Av, that's okay. Now, this is the main point. B'Med Dvar Mamurim, when does this apply? Mishay Shoh Solamala. Only if it's after Chatzos. Avol Mishay Shoh Solamata Mutar. But if it's still in the morning, then it's mutter. This is a raya to Rabbi Yehuda. The concern only applies afternoon and during that very last meal called Suda Shemafsikpa. Tezis points out that when we speak about Shnei Tavshilin, it doesn't mean You cook up some potatoes with some seasonings, some onions, some... That's not what he means. Those are just ingredients that enhance the flavor, the main character in that dish. That's not called Shnei Tavshilin. Rather, Shnei Tavshilin is if you really take two separate things. For instance, they're cooked in two separate pots, or even in one pot, but they're two separate entities. Two primary foods unrelated to each other. In that case, that is called Shnei Tavshilin, two distinct dishes which enhance your menu, which add elegance to the meal experience. Another chiddush of Tosfos, something which can be eaten raw. Chalav gvina tapuchim. Ein b'hem teres bishul klal klal. They're not considered cooked foods because you can have them raw. So although the cooking experience perhaps enhances these foods, but they don't carry the same weight. They're not characterized as tafshilim. A similar halacha we have in Amud Zora. They're not considered bishul akam, right? If something can be eaten raw, and a guy goes ahead and cooks a few, you're not really benefiting much from his efforts. It's not like he's serving you his personal food. We don't have the isser bishul akam. Since you could, theoretically, eat it raw. Eat it uncooked. Says the Gemara Tani, idach, we have another brice, which says, Erev Tisha B'av, lo yechol adam shnei tavshilin, one should keep away from two cooked foods, lo yechol basar, lo yishtei yayin, keep away from wine or meat, divrei Rebbe Meir. Once again, the Chacham disagree. Don't commit to an all-across ban. V'chacham imam yisham. As long as you deviate, you downgrade, you restrict, you limit your intake, that's okay. And Rashi seems to learn that Yishana is going on the Shnei Tavshilin, like we learned earlier. As long as you're doing some Shinei, which perhaps would mean, typically you have three items on the menu, now you went down to two. Or you're somehow downgrading. Instead of two different types of cooked food, you have two variations of the same item. That's enough. A Shinei is enough. And likewise, when it comes to basar v'yayin, it isn't an absolute ban. It might be basar v'yayin, as long as you downgrade, you limit, you minimize. Ketam lemait. In what way do you do that? Imha yirogel lechol itra basar. This fellow is accustomed to having this large amount of basar in his meal. Litra is a weight, a certain weight, a pound of basar, let's say. Yechol chatzei litra. Now he should go down to a half a pound. Ha yirogel lishtet lug yayin. He would typically drink a lug, a whole bottle of wine. Yishtet chatzei lug yayin, go down to half a bottle. Vim ein yirogel kol ikar asar. But a fellow who typically doesn't have wine or meat during his meal, in that case, there's no room for changing, for shini, for downgrading. This fellow indeed can't have it at all. I'll give you another exception, another exemption. This fellow was accustomed to having some radish, or maliach, which Rashi says, aged meat. Heavily salted meat, which is already a couple of days old, in which case it lost its original flavor, lost its meatiness. He's accustomed to having it after his meal. He can go ahead and do so. Tanidach. We have another braisa which says, Kol shu mishum tisha b'av. Here is a big chiddush. Kol shu mishum tisha b'av, Rashi says, this means, kigoin suda hamafsik b'av. He's already involved in that pre-Tisha B'Av experience, in the Sudah of Sekhets, which prepares him from Tisha B'Av. He's already associating with Tisha B'Av. At that point, we apply the Tisha B'Av restrictions to him. Also, lechol basar, v'asol l'shtis yayin. He has to keep off meat or wine. Here comes the chiddush. V'asol l'rchitz. He can no longer bathe himself. He can't wash himself with hot water. He can't wash himself with cold water. We treat it just like Tisha B'Av itself. Kol she'enim shem Tisha B'Av. But if he's not engaged in an activity which relates to Tisha B'Av, let's say he's having a meal in the morning, nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. Or it's a meal before a different tanis, so it's not Tisha B'Av related. Mutar lechol basar, v'shtas yayin. He can have meat and wine. Va'asr, and some take out the word va'asr and change it to umutar. Umutar lirchatz, and rechitza certainly is mutar. So according to Tana Kama, Isser Rechitz applies, and Varshan pointed out that it's mashma from the Gemara. Dafka Isser Rechitz applies at this point. It's considered like semi Tisha B'Av. But other restrictions like wearing shoes, etc., don't apply at this point. Why? What's the difference? Says the Ramban, because rinsing, washing, bathing, that affects a person for the long term. He'll come into Tisha B'Av feeling fresh and clean. So the Isser Rechitza starts already now. He has to look after Tisha B'Av, starting from this point. So Isser Rechitza applies already now. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, I don't know. He quotes his father, Meshem Aviv, who was Rabbi Yossi, Kol Sho Shemuta Lechel, as long as you can eat, they take out the word Basar, but a little chitz you can wash. We don't expand the Isser Rechitza into Erev Tisha B'Av. Tanu Rabban. How do we define, how do we package the Tisha B'Av restrictions? We know certainly it's not like a regular tanis. We have nilsa sandal and rechitza, all those halachas. How do we define it? Kol mitzvahs hanehagos be'avel. All those restrictions and limitations apply to an avel, lo yaleinu, throughout the Shiva period. Nehagos b'tes b'av, we follow on Tisha B'Av as well. Plus more. Because an avel can eat. You can eat and drink. You can even have meat and wine. We had that earlier in the Masechta. The Fruchi Tzari. To help him alleviate his anxiety. We don't want to crush him during that difficult period. But on Tisha B'Av, we have Avelis plus plus. Also Bachil V'Shtia. We don't eat and drink either. Because in that sense, it's like a tannis. We pain ourselves. We distress ourselves. We go through Tzar. To experience teshuvah, hachna'ah, and kapara. So it's really a combined entity. Tisha B'Av is an enhanced fast day, right? It's like those seven last fast days that we had. Plus, we add elements of avelus as well, of mourning. It's meant to bring us to teshuvah, to hachna'ah, and we focus on the churban hamikdash. That's the focal point of the day. That also brings us to Tzar, brings us to Tshuva, to Kapara, to Merit, the rebuilding of the Mikdash. So it's also Bachilu Vashtia, Ubesicha, smearing, Ubenes Asandal, Ubetashmi Shamit. But also Likrois, here comes the added element, which is unique to Tisha B'Av, on account of the fact that it's a Yom Avelus. So just as an Aval cannot learn Torah, likewise in Tisha B'Av, v'asa likrei b'Torah, v'neviim b'ksuvim, v'lishnis b'mishnah, v'b'talmud, Gemara, v'medrash. Those are the brises expanding on the pesukim, b'halachis, halachim mishim sinais, v'b'agodes, divrei agodah. Because these things bring simcha, pikudei Hashem yisharim b'samchei lev. Want to be subdued on Tisha B'Av, even in a spiritual sense, and therefore we refrain from learning Torah. Aval. We allow some learning. He can read psukim, which he's not accustomed to reading, which he's not familiar with. Rashi says, it's a tsar. He doesn't really understand, doesn't grasp what he's learning, so he doesn't have the true satisfaction of that learning experience, and therefore doesn't constitute a contradiction to avelus. He can learn mishnayis that he's not familiar with. What else? The Koyre Bikinus, you can read Echo, Be'iyav, sad story of Iyav and all his calamities. Ubedvarim Haroam Shebe Yirmia, the Psukim describing Puranus in Yirmia, and the Paiskim add, you can learn the third parak of Ma'id Katan, Elam Magalchan, speaking about, the Sugi speaking about Avelus. Vitinoike Shebe Yisrabon, is a Gersa Einan Betelon. However, children in Yeshiva should not stop learning, because they're not obligated to participate in Avelus. They're youngsters. And the chiddush is that even the Rebbe has to go and teach them. So although he's learning Torah, he's an adult, he shouldn't be learning Torah. But he's meshubah to them. He's bound to teach. He's bound to his obligation. He has to teach them. He has a job. So they continue learning. Some take out these words and only have it later on in review the sheet. So according to Tanakama, don't learn except for things that you're not familiar with. except things that are advarim haroim, and children remain in session. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on both accounts. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ein koyer b'makom she'ein rogel agrees. He shouldn't be learning things that he's not familiar with. Ve'ein shoyin b'makom she'ein rogel lishnayis. He shouldn't read psukim or learn mishnayis that he's not familiar with, because at the end of the day, ultimately, the words of Torah satiate one's soul, bring glee and satisfaction to his neshama. Whether or not you're truly delving into the topic, even superficial learning has a profound spiritually satisfying effect on the person. He agrees that you can learn those things that describe negative things, negative events, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains, because when you read about tzoras of Klal Yisrael, even one's neshama gets affected. So that counteracts, that counterbalances for the hanah that he has. So although you have spiritual hanah from learning anything, but the fact is you're learning things which are describing tzoras of Klal Yisrael, and that distresses a person's neshama. And it's mutter on Tisha B'Av. That's number one. But tinaikish shall base Rabban but Talenboy. So he disagrees with Tanakama regarding things that a person's not familiar with. Terror affects a person in a profound way. Don't do it. Number two, he says, kids, I've a Talenboy. Schools have off. Mishum Shanema, Pukudi Hashem, Yisham, Misam Chalei. In fact, is Hashem's Terror, Mismech a person, and the Rebbe has no business teaching on Tisha B'Av. He has a no. Explains the Gvur Sari. We have a Gemara on Shabbos that whenever Mavatal, Tignoika shall base Rabban, even for Binyan base Amigdash. That's an accepted halacha. Says the Guru Sari. That Gemara perhaps forms the basis for Al Machlekes. Tanakama held. Look, just as we find in that Gemara, the Rebbe should be going, participating in the Binyan Amigdash. Right? So how can we say that the kids are going to be learning? Without a Rebbe, they're not learning. Evidently, we leave the Rebbe behind. We allow him to teach the kids because he's meshubah to them. He has to keep them learning. So true, he has a chiv to go build a mikdash. But his first and foremost responsibility are to the kids. And therefore, he stays there and teaches them to. Like he's over here on Tisha B'Av. Although he himself is not meant to be learning Torah, but the kids need to learn. So he can stay on for the kids. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Big difference. Over there by the Beis HaMikdash, it's Sheva Al Tasa. He's sitting passive. He's not participating in the Binyan HaMikdash. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing a Masa that's wrong. So in that case, certainly, he stays behind in the Yeshiva and instructs the kids. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, true, the kids have to learn, but the Rebbe is not allowed to learn. He can't engage in that learning experience. The classroom experience is pleasure for the Rebbe. It's Mesam Chelev. Here he's doing a masa, which is inappropriate. This is different, and this is also. And therefore, he says, by default, the kids are going to be off on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so in conclusion, we have four types of limud. Enjoyable learning, according to all Shaitis, is us. Kudi Hashem Mishar, Mesam Chelev. Dvarim Haroim, learning about Tzoreis, etc., that's certainly mutter. Regarding learning things that you don't really have a taste for, you're not really familiar with, you're not going to delve into it. Or in the case of a Rebbe teaching kids, Hanakama says, mutter, Rebbe Yehuda says us. So during Sudam of Sekas, we learn about keeping off, keeping away from meat and wine. Leich basar v'lishtiyai, Tana. The Brisa added, "Avol echlu basar maliach." As mentioned earlier, basar maliach is the heavily salted meat. It's a couple of days old. It lost its freshness, its meatiness. It's no longer really mesameach the person, and that's mutter. V'shoyse yain megitay. Likewise, he can drink freshly squeezed wine right out of the wine press, which is still bubbling and fermenting, and not really tasty. Basar maliach ad kama. Until what point is still considered fresh meat? Meaning, from one point onward do we consider this basa maliach and will be mutter. Omer Rav Chinna bar Kahana meshmei de shmol kozman shehu kishlamim. Until the point that a shlamim, as long as a shlamim, if this meat would be shlamim meat, it could still be eaten within the first 2 days or so of Shechita, that's still considered fresh enough. We find that Torah calls it basar. It still retains its original form, its natural flavor. It's considered basar. But past that point, it loses that freshness. It loses its meatiness and its mutter. So the connection to shlamim, says Rashi, is pretty much just like a remez. We see in the Pesukim that the Torah considers it basar for the first 2-3 days. The Torah describes the basar shlamim as basar. So apparently up until that point, it still retains its basar characteristics. But past that, it loses that original flavor and would not be asr during Sudam of Sekis. V'yayin megitay ad kama, until what point do we consider something yayin megitay, fresh wine? Kozman shu toises, as long as it's bubbling. It's interesting that Toises points out here that although in the Gemara he seems to say that basar maliach, yayin toises would be mutter, but he says nowadays we are ruggle, we are accustomed to having this type of meat as well. And therefore he says for us it's not really considered a downgrade, and we should keep away from this basar as well. And I saw in the Poskim the same thing regarding fresh wine. We drink grape juice. And therefore, the minhag is to keep away from that type of wine as well. And just as a general thing, Taisa says, a person should be memayit bishti yasei. Whatever a person is accustomed to drinking, Coke, should go down from 10 cups to 5. So it's not only specific to wine or meat. Generally, a person should downgrade, should be mishana, restrict his intake during Sudam of Sekis. In fact, he says, Tzorach l'shanis mekaymai, he should change his seat. Shul ragu lechaboy, just like we're going to see soon, that Rebbe Beloy would sit on the floor in an unclean place as a sign of avelus. And the minute today is that Sudam of Sekis involves sitting on the floor with some bread, an egg, some ashes. Indeed, we do minimize and we limit it to the bare minimum. In fact, we don't sit together or mezuman. We don't want to make it into an event. It says yeshiv badad v'yidayim, each one on his own, a sign of avelus. In fact, it's brought in halacha that if it so happens that some fellows get together and have just enough sekas, you still won't say yaziman, because although it is together technically, but each person's on his own. It's lacking kvias. We don't have that established mealtime experience because each one is just sitting on his own. It's avelus. It's not a joint experience, which would require a zimun. Interesting chiddush and halacha. Okay, back to the Gemara. 2 lines from the bottom. Tana, the Braisa added as follows: Yayin toiseis, eiva mishum giloi. You have this bubbling wine, in which case it doesn't have a concern of giloi. What is giloi? So if you leave an uncovered, exposed liquid, for instance, wine, things that a snake would be attracted to, there's a concern that he may have come and drank from it and deposited some venom. Today we're not really so concerned about it, at least in Mekoymois of Yishuv. But certainly out in the country, out in the wild, the concern would still apply certainly today. But in a Mekoym of Yishuv, in a Mekoym of houses, the concept of the prevalence of Nechashim isn't really so common, and therefore we're not so makvid. In any case, if it's bubbling wine, the snake keeps away, he hears bubbling, it scares him off. The kamatis is sasek imul yamim, until a point is it considered yayin toises, 3 days since pressing, it has that bubbling phenomenon. Amar vidu marav, kachayim min hagay, shal rabbi de berloy. You want to know what rabbi de berloy used to do? How he used to have a sudam of sekes as follows. Erev tisha b'av. On Erev Tisha B'Av, and some say this was the Sudam of Sekis, they would serve him a dry piece of bread, b'melach with some salt, b'yoyshev ben tana l'karayim. He would find himself a spot between the oven and the stove. Rashi says, mokim menuvel shebebayis, the most unclean place in the home. This was an expression of a mourning. V'oichel v'shoys, v'oichel, you would have that bread, v'shoyse oleo kitten shomayim, he would add to it a jug of wine, of water, v'doyme, and in his expression, he would present like an oval of the worst proportions. Kimisha meis mutal lefanav, like he had a fresh mace there. So although this was an old churban, past event for the tzaddik Rabbi Yehuda, it was fresh, like it happened today. He mourned like it was an event that happened today. You know, there was a famous story that Napoleon, they say, he visited a shul on the night of Tisha B'Av. He's dressed like an ordinary person, and he sees everybody sitting on the floor, crying, lamenting. He thought something must have happened, a terrible tragedy. So he turned to the first person and says, what happened? Well, tell me what's going on. So he said, what do you mean? We lost our holy temple. Our Beis HaMikdash. He says, oh, wow, that must have been terrible. He was empathizing. He says, tell me, when did it happen? He said, well, you know, about 1,700 years ago. He says, I can't believe it. And he's still crying for an event that occurred 1,800 years ago. So he said, yeah. This is what it's all about. Our life is connected to the Beis HaMikdash. That's our focal point. It's our connection to Hashem. And we mourn. We are misabel year after year after year without let up. Napoleon was so impressed. Never seen such a thing. Still crying. Something that's so far gone. And he walked out and he said, that's a secret of the Jewish nation's immortality. That's a secret of their survival. They're still connected. They're still rooted in that Beis HaMikdash. They haven't forgotten. You know, when you cry about something, apparently you still have hope for it. If it's something that's totally gone, there's that disconnect. It wouldn't even elicit a cry. Something that you can relate to, that you miss, that you long for, that you yearn for, that you're going to re-experience in the future, just waiting for it to come back. That elicits a true cry. So the availus of Tisha B'Av isn't just crying about something bygone. The availus is that experience of Kara Olay Moyed. It's a yomtiv, Farshim explained. It's a closeness. It's an expression of longing, which means closeness. If you're not close to it, you don't long for it. You don't yearn for it. You don't miss it. Apparently you can relate to it. You can relate to the Beis HaMikdash. Even nowadays, that's what you're crying about. That's Kara Olay Moyed. It's a yomtiv. Yomtiv means it's an occasion. It is an occasion. Occasion to bring out that closeness to Hashem. We don't necessarily experience throughout the rest of the year. So, the greater you are, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, for him it was immediate, it was real, it was right in front of him. Here's the Mikdash. Where am I? Why am I not connected? It was Kemesi Mutalafon Tanan Hassan. We went to the Mishnah back in Pesach. What about doing Malach on Tisha B'Av? Makam Shinago, Lassus Malach on Tisha B'Av Oisin. It all depends on Minag HaMakam. Minadin. We allow malacha. You know, by the way, the Rosh points out, back on Amud Aleph, we had that connection between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. So the Rosh says, not in all ways. We don't compare it all the way, meaning there are things that an oval will do that we don't do on Tisha B'Av. Atifa Sarosh Kriya. We don't do that on Tisha B'Av. So he says the Gemara Dafka means restrictions Isurim. No Sicha, no Nilas HaSandal, those things. But there are things that are sort of positive things that the oval does that we don't do. Likewise, he says, that's when it comes to tefillin. We wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av because even though the oval won't wear it on the first day, but that's a limitation for the first day. It's a restriction on Vachrisa Kiyemar. But theoretically, Avelus doesn't really contravene tefillin. The fact is, he puts on tefillin the rest of his Avelus. And likewise, he says, Malach. An oval typically refrains from malacha, but at a time of necessity, when it's a shasat chak, the halacha allows the oval to do malacha after 3 days. So that's why we don't have these things on Tisha B'Av. These aren't really absolute restrictions for the oval. So technically, you can do malacha on Tisha B'Av, but in some places, that a minute to refrain. Why? Because this allows them to free their minds and their hearts. So it's really important to focus on the Avelis. So you follow Minag HaMakam. Makam Shanago Lassus Malacha B'Tisha B'Av Ois. In a place that had Minag to do Malacha, you follow the Minag. Makam Shanago Shaloi Lassus Ois. In a place where the Minag was to refrain from Malacha, you follow that Minag as well. You don't do Malacha. Ubuchal Makam Tamid Chacham B'Telem. Now, in any case, wherever you are, Talmid Chacham, who are living in a higher realm, and are meant to feel, the Meiri says, they're meant to feel, to be margish the chisoran of the churban, of the missing Beis HaMikdash, they're meant to be bought from Malacha altogether, to express that true avelus on the Beis HaMikdash. Now, by the way, the Ramah says, when we speak about not doing malach on Tisha B'Av, it doesn't mean turning on the light. It means a malach sheyesh by shihu yiktsas, he says, something which requires delay and involvement and immersion. Because again, the point is not to divert one's mind, not to masiach das. So a quick phone call, a quick malach, that's not what we're speaking about. We're speaking about something which requires shihui, requires immersion and diversion from the avilas. He says it's not gav. If an ordinary person decides, you know what, when it comes to Isra Malacha, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I live higher standards, I will not go to work on Tisha B'Av, I will do Avelus. Don't think it's a gav, because it's not a matter of honor. He's not getting covered for it. He's not sitting up in the Mizrach on the head table. He's just doing Avelus the way it's meant to be. He's a sincere fellow. So there's no concern of horiness. Anybody can present as a Talmud Chacham in this regard. Tanina Mihacha, we have the same in the Braisa. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Lo'olam Yasu Adam Atzmoy, Ke Talmud Chacham, Ke Deishi Yis Ana. Point is, not just to present as a Talmud Chacham, to enhance, to facilitate, to enable proper inui, proper immersion in the Avodah Sayyid. Tanidach, we have a Braisa. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Eichel V'Shoysi B'Tisha B'Av, one ignores the fast day, eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, kilo eichel v'shoyse b'yayim ha-kippurim, it's equated to eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Why? What's the connection? Says Chasam Sofer, inui tsar avelus on that churban Beis HaMikdash gives a person kapara. The churban Beis HaMikdash brought about kapara for Klal Yisrael, and the more you relate to it, the more you connect to it, the more kapara you have, this fellow ignores Tisha B'Av, he will not have that benefit, that kapara from the Churban HaMikdash. It's as though he ignores Yom Kippur, in which case he misses out on the Kapara experience. Rabbi Kiva Omer, if one involves himself in Malacha and diverts his mind from the fast day, although it's not Asr, but much bracha, much success and blessing, he will not see from that particular endeavor, that particular business venture, as she says, Ma'oisa Malacha. Ein leiroi simen bracha loyim. V'chamayim. Kol oisam locha b'yotes ba'av. Ve'edim esabal Yerushalayim. A person is involved in malacha in a way which diverts him, distracts him from avelos in Yerushalayim. He will not be zoicha. Ein leiroi b'sim chasod. Experience the joy when things turn around for us. Shanam ha'simchu as Yerushalayim. V'gilu ba'kol ha'avel. Sisu itam masois. Who will take part in that celebration, that grand simcha, when Yerushalayim will come around, will be rebuilt? Kol hamis ablam aleo. Only those who experienced the avelos, who were there when things were bad, when things were going rough, they will be zeicher to re-experience Yerushalayim the way it's meant to be experienced. Bikan amru. Chacham concluded, kol hamis abal Yerushalayim zeicher v'roi b'simchas. Person is abal properly, he's zeicher to eventually experience the simcha of Yerushalayim. Otherwise, Einai Roya B'Simchas, he will not experience the Simcha. Tani Nami Hachi, the same in the Braisa. Kol Oichel Basa, Rishoy Siyayin B'Tisha B'Av. If one ignores the Yisurim, he has his Basa, he has his Yayin on Tisha B'Av. Rashi learns, speaking about Sudam of Sekas. So even then, Olav HaKasav Omer, on him the Pasuk says, V'atiyah V'Noysam, Allah Tzmoysam, there are sins, will be attached to that. In some ways, when one eats inappropriately, it enters his body, gets absorbed into his system. It's part of his essence, and that oven will be attached to him. The Tosis adds, Tosis on the top Tosis here, third line from the top, he says, the Iker is the spirit. We speak about this or that restriction, but it's more than that. V'chayiv odom letzair, ulamayit b'chvoide. A person should seek to minimize his comfort, his pleasure, his covet, ubana oisav. On Tisha B'Av, for instance, Shema Yerogel Shchayv al Shnei Karm. He had two pillows that he uses per night. minimize, toss away one. Use one tonight. That's only if you can handle it. Avlo ubrois or menikois. Ein mechayves kol yehi. We don't burden the ubrois and menikois. She'ein mechayles let star ba'atzvon. So it's all a matter of what you can do. Meshtatev, express avelus b'mayit, personal hanah and pleasure, and focus on the churban beis hamikdash. And that will bring about zoyche v'roya b'simchasa. By the way, this Vasemis has a diak. Zoyche v'roya? He's mesabel Yerushalayim. He's zoyche v'roya? I should say yiske v'yira in the future. Why does the Gemara present it in present tense? He is zoyche v'roya b'simchasa, says this Vasemis, gevaldi gevort, right now, currently. He's already experiencing that ray of joy in his heart. As we said earlier, the Avelus connects him to the concept. When he is Misabel, he feels the Beis HaMikdash. He sees the future. He sees the potential. He has that optimism in his heart. It's going to come back. He's already experiencing that future Simcha already somewhat currently. Kol Misabel Yishalayim Zoicha, give him that Zichach, that purity, that he's already Raya B'Simchas on his mind's eye. He already sees, very quickly, very soon, there's going to be a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. We'll be back home. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Doim Yachai Bechviyas Hamita. Rabbi Doim says you have to overturn your bed and sleep on the floor on Tisha B'Av night. V'loi hoide l'chacham, chacham disagree. That's not necessary. So according to Al Mishnah, Rabbi Doim requires overturning beds and sleeping on the floor. Chacham say, no, we don't do that on Tisha B'Av. Tanya, in the Braisa, we had a slightly different version of this discussion. Amru loy Rabbi Yehuda. Chacham turned to Rabbi Yehuda. Lidvarecha, according to you, you have to turn over the beds and sleep on the floor. What about the ubris and menikos, expectant and nursing women? Matei alein, what are they going to do? It's not practical for them. It could endanger them. Amru lam, he responds, afani lo yamarti el biyachal. True. I only meant somebody who could handle it. So their argument was, look, if you're going to make a takana, it has to be sustainable. It has to be all across the board. If they can't do it, then just skip the takana. He says, no. Whoever can do it. Tani nam yachi, we have the same in the braisa. That moid rabbi l'chacham, rabbi degrees, b'she'ni yachal. If one can't handle it, he's exempt from turning over the bed. Umoidim chacham, rabbi b'yachal. And certainly the chacham agreed to him that if you can do it, you meant to do it. So according to the braisa, it seems like everybody agrees in concept. You meant to sleep on the floor, if you can handle it. So when you're Yachel, all agree you meant to do so. Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham both agree you meant to do so. If it's any Yachel, it's not practical, it's not feasible, it doesn't apply to you. So it seems like there really isn't any machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham. Might be not. What's the difference between the Shitas here? They both seem to be saying the same thing. If you can handle it, do it. If you can't, you don't. It can be not a Shar Mitas. The question is regarding the rest of the beds at home. The soundings we learned in a brisa in Maseches Moed Katan by the Avil. There's a halach of Kviyas Hamita. The two paths to Kviyas Hamita. Turn over your bed. You say sit on beds. So turn over your bed. Don't enjoy your bed. Sit on the floor. And also turn over all the beds in the home. There's another din. Moed Katan says, what does it symbolize? Hashem tells the person, look, Demus Dikuni Nasati Benechem. I inserted my form, so to speak, amongst you. A human being is a tzelem lakim, reflects Hashem's image. Because of your averis, cheta, the marishan, all that brought about misa, and you overturned, so to speak, the surah of Hashem within the person. Turn over your beds. We'll see that as Hashem and Ma'id Katan. So there's a din to turn over all the beds in the home. And that's the question. What happens on Tisha B'Av? Kedesanya, because Amru lichpois hamita. Chacham said, turn over beds. Loi mitasab levadu kofe. That's not limited to his personal bed, which would require him to sit on the floor. So this brings him a lack of comfort. That's not enough. Alakol amitas kulanu kofe. Turn over all the beds to symbolize this concept of b'mahapach tzur. So that's by the Avel. What about on Tisha B'Av? Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we apply that concept here as well. time for Avelus. Just as the Avel during his Shiva does this, we do it on Tisha B'Av as well. Chacham disagreed. We don't have to compare the two things. Avelus of a mace is one thing, based on that reason that we mentioned. Tisha B'Av is a point of tsar, discomfort, inconvenience. Ainui, hachna, tshuva, kapar, it's a different concept. And therefore, sure, his personal bed he should turn over, which will make him uncomfortable. But that's it. So that's the machlekes. That's the point of contention. Bottom line is all agree by a yachel, if you can do it, turn over your bed. If it's ain't a yachel, if it's not practical, don't do it. Rav Yehuda just adds that just as by avelus of a mace, hafichas amita applies to all beds in the home, we don't want to differentiate, we want to keep things consistent, we apply that formula to here as well, all beds are turned over. Now this is the Bryce's version of events. But back in our Mishnah, we didn't seem to have this discussion. Rav Yehuda was the one who says, kviyas amita, turn over the bed, sleep on the floor. V'lehoidel chacham, chacham disagreed completely. It's not applicable on Tisha B'Av. Amar Rav Hilchos Akitani Didan. In fact, the halacha is like our Tana, like our Mishnah. Deka Amar v'lehoidel chacham chalik. According to our Mishnah, chacham disagreed entirely with this concept. We don't require turning over beds, perhaps because it's not practical for all. The Uberis, the Minikais, it's not going to work for them. So since it's not a universally, a practical thing, we don't do it at all. It's interesting. Tosfos brings that nowadays even the Avel during the Shiva period doesn't turn over the beds. Chayshish like shuffling. The non-Jews might take a look and say, "Oh, what are you involved in? Sorcery, all kinds of magic and stuff. They're going to get superstitious about the fact that we're turning over beds." And therefore, nowadays, due to that concern, we are not noyig in this din of kfiyah samit. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We started about sudam hafsekas. So it's the last and final meal, and it's efter chatzos. We have restrictions. According to Tanakama, we don't include two types of cooked dishes in that meal, nor do we partake in basar v'yayin. According to Chacham and the other shittas here, as long as you minimize, you change, you deviate, that's enough. Regarding rechitza during sudam hafsekas, we have machlekes. We learned that Tisha B'Av has elements of inoy, enhanced inoy, plus elements of avelus as well. For instance, the issa to learn because Torah is misameach leiv. We have four different types of Talmud Torah. Conventional learning, which provides spiritual sustenance. Davar that he's ragel by, he's familiar with it, he enjoys the experience, that's certainly asur. Those chapters in Yirmiyah, etc., which described tragedies that befell Klal Yisrael, Dvar HaMaraim is mut. Something which he's unfamiliar with. He's still raw. It's going to be a superficial learning. In fact, he has sar. He's not getting to the point there. That's a machlekes. And regarding children, cheder, it's also a machlekes. Technically, malach on Tisha B'Av is mutter, but it really depends on the minhag hamakom. Talmid Chacham should be batel. According to Rashbag, everybody should present as a Talmud Chacham in this regard. Either way, one should be careful not to be Masiach Das from the Avelus, Kol Mas'abal Yerushalayim, Zoich Avro B'Simchasa, and concluded with the halacha of Kviyas Amita, Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. B'Surus Tovus, and Hatzlacha Rabba to you.